Thinking how amazing it is
Sorry, Alan.
That we can call you Father.
Amen.
You know, God Almighty, God of the universe, and you call us your children. And we ask now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just come upon us. And thank you for Shannon. Thank you for what you've given her to share with us. And Father, we just ask that you'd give us ears to hear what you're saying to your church. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. My spiritual papa. By the way, spiritual papa. And there's my mama out there. praise God. Are we in a good place this morning?
Yes.
Not only are you here with God's people, but in your heart, I pray that you're in a good place with the Lord. So I have a couple of things to share with you. And before I get into the message, that kind of lead up into that, if I can put it. So I want you to know the message that I'm starting this morning is a three-part message. Sorry, I have a bad habit of thumbprinting my spectacles. And then you look blurry, which I just don't like. I like to see the beautiful people, the holy people of God. I don't want my thumbprint to tarnish that. But so it's a three-part message. Now, here's why I'm sharing that with you. So this week and next week is the part one and part two, and then we hit Thanksgiving. And how many of you have received an email bulletin for this week? You guys don't know? Okay. If you have, okay. So I want to share with you this. So Thanksgiving weekend, we have guest speakers. I'm not sharing the name with you this morning. You have it in a bulletin because they are travel the world and preach all over the world. And so we want to keep their names out of it because when it gets online, places that they go into, check, right? To see, are you connected with Christians and stuff like that. So we're kind of keeping it out of it. For their sake and for the sake of moving the gospel forward. The other thing is if you're not here that morning, it will run live, but we are not recording it and sharing it after, okay? Again, this is for their safety and moving forward. So if you're online, just know that Thanksgiving weekend, you're going to have to watch it live, but we will not be putting it up that week. I'm saying that Rebecca just found out herself because I haven't told her yet that that's what's going to happen that week. And so we're really thankful to have them. And so they come highly recommended from our wonderful brother John Lucas, who said, you know, they're fabulous preachers of the word. But the other thing, and this is where I want you to kind of, I'm going to say, prepare your hearts, is one of his gifts is prophetic. And there's something about having someone come into your congregation who knows nothing about you and has the Lord share a word where it encourages us and just lifts us, right? So I'm just going to say, just pray into that maybe the Lord has a word for you that he will share with you personally or whatever, and to have your heart ready for that. And if it doesn't happen, don't think God is rejecting you, okay? The Lord knows who he needs to speak to. But again, a place to prepare our hearts to receive. The other thing we're going to do is we're going to take up a special offering for them. So again, after talking about last week, you know, just prepare. If the Lord says give a dollar, give a dollar. If the Lord says give nothing, give nothing. If the Lord says give more, hey. But again, he always it's above and beyond your tithing. And again, I watch last week's message. It is online to find out what I mean by that. Okay. So, what are we talking about this morning? We're going to get into, it helps if I turn it on, that's the three W's of Ephesians. We're going to do a little walk through Ephesians. And so, if you have your Bible, you can pull it out and you can go with me. If you have it on, whether you have it on your phone or in paper form. I'm a paper form girl. I'm very tactile. I like to touch it. And so, we're going to do that. So I'm actually not going to put all the scriptures up there. We're going to talk about it, and we're probably going to move through it quite quickly because we're going to go to the end of chapter 3 today, hopefully. All right, Father, thank you for your word. And as Alan has already prayed, I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that not only do you indwell upon us, in us as believers, but you dwell upon us. You pour out upon us. I pray pour out upon us with your revelation of the good news of Jesus as we share in the communion of your word this morning. And again, we want you honored and glorified, Lord, in all that is said and done. Help us establish our hearts in your truth. And again, we ask it in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. So as we step into Ephesians, it is a book written by the Apostle Paul. And at this point, he's a prisoner in Rome. He's under house arrest. And if you don't know what house arrest was like for them then, he was chained 24 hours a day to a guard. And here's why. Because Paul, being a Roman citizen, had the right to ask for an audience with Caesar and plead his case. Now, here's the thing. As a guard guarding a prisoner, you had to be available to get them before Caesar in 1 hour of notification. So we don't want our prisoner wandering anywhere or whatever. So the guard, and here's what happened with the guard. If the guard didn't get him there, guess whose life was on the line? The guards. So we chain ourselves to the prisoner. So when we start reading about all these guards in the palace of Caesar that start coming to the Lord, they are kind of the captive audience to the gospel. Because Paul is allowed to have people come and visit him. He just can't go visit, leave to visit them. So he has various delegations coming to him, sharing on letters, passing on information and updating him and letting him know what's happening in the churches. And so he gets a letter from the church in Ephesus, or our delegation, talking about something's going on in the church. And here's what happened, because most of the church in Ephesus are Gentile believers, and there are the Jewish believers amongst them. And this comes up, it happened with the Galatians as well, is the Judaizers are getting in there. And one of the things that's come up is they're telling the Gentiles that they are second-class citizens in God's sight, that they aren't chosen, they aren't, unless you're Jewish and practicing the Jewish law, you don't have the same value. And you know what? That's a tactic of the enemy. And it's a tactic of the enemy today. And in fact, it's nothing new. It started way back in the Garden of Eden, where he challenged both Adam and Eve. Did God really say, challenge their identity and who they were? And of course, we see it follow through. We saw it in the garden, or not in the garden, in the wilderness with Jesus. Again, the enemy shows up to challenge Jesus. If this is who you really are, it's about his identity. And we know that, of course, Jesus was able to stand on the word of God and the enemy fleed. So as we start this morning with part one here, we're going to look at the first W, which is wealth. And before you get all thinking about it's about money, it's not. It's about the wealth you have in the Lord. Now, I want to start here. Anybody know who these people are? Who are they? They're the royal family. King Charles, and then there's a couple of princes thrown in there, some princesses. Now, let me ask you, as members of the royal family, do they have privileges? They have royal privileges. So tell me, we see Charles there, and we see his son William and his son Harry. What privileges do William and Harry have? Heirs to the kingdom. Part of the family. Even their children, do they have privilege in that? What did they do to earn it? They were born into it. They were born into it. How about their wives? Married into it. To become one flesh. It's theirs. When we look at this picture, we understand who they are, what they have. We know that they are royalty. And we know that they are not a perfect picture of the royalty we are in God. They're a royalty of the world, but we understand, we can use it to understand that there is privilege with royalty because they are family members of the royal family. So let's start thinking about what Paul is talking to. What is he doing? He's addressing the Gentile believers and the Jewish believers who are there in Ephesus, trying to help them understand who they are. And let me ask you this. Have you ever felt less than as a believer? Have you ever felt lacking in who you are as a believer? Like you're not spiritual enough, you don't know the Bible well enough, I'm still struggling with some of the sinful stuff in my life, so God can't use me. I'm less than. I can't be one of the chosen. I'm just here. It's not true. And Paul's addressing that they are letting the father of lies keep them in a mindset of less and lacking. They're keeping them in a mindset that they still belong to the world. They still belong to a family of the enemy. They still belong to the darkness because they don't measure up. They lack all of these things. And yet, that's not true. I don't know, you guys remember this commercial from a way back? So we're talking about the wealth of the believer. What's in your wallet? Do you remember that commercial? Not that old. Maybe not as old as that. It was funny about these Vikings running around with what's in their wallet. But here's my question to you this morning. Do you know what's in your spiritual wallet? Do you know what the Lord has provided? Do you know the wealth you have in Christ? And that's where we're starting here in Ephesians. I'm going to start chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Camrose, the faithful in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, amen, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. This morning I'm just giving us a checklist of what's in your wallet. He has freely given us in the one he loves this. You're blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. Not some. Not just this and that. How many?
Every.
And where?
In
the heavenly realms, in the heavenly places. That's going to be important. Think about that. We're going to get to that in a little bit. But you are blessed. Oh, Sandra, just stand up and turn around and let people see your shirt. I was looking at that this morning and I said, amen. Blessed. And she's declaring it right there before everybody. Truth in advertising, there you go. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. You know, one of the things that we need to do is we need to stop looking at wealth as just being money. I'm going to say, and I might be off a little bit, I'm going to say it was probably over 40 years ago, not quite 50 years ago, but 40 years ago, that I remember the lottery coming out when you could win $1 million. And do you remember way back then, wow, to win $1 million, you know, that idea of $1 million, what you could do, you would be considered rich. How many of us now can say that our houses, our places we live, are worth $250,000, $500,000, or even more? How many? And it's the same house we lived in 50 years ago. You know what? Like, here's the thing. Money devalues. Stuff happens. How many of you remember the Christmas gift you got 25 years ago? How many of you are pretty sure it's probably, if it's not in the dump, or you've given it to somebody and it just doesn't have any value for you anymore? Probably doesn't have any value for you anymore because you can't even remember it. Now, I appreciate there's one or two things that maybe, but the truth is, it just doesn't have the value. The world wants you to store up treasures here on earth. And Jesus tells us this, store up your treasures. Why? Because moths, depending on your version, vermin, and or decay, or thieves can't break in and steal it. You're soaring up in heaven. Amen? It was a place we want our to be storing our treasures. And so here's the thing, as we look at this morning, as we look at these, what's in our spiritual wallet, let's step up and step into these blessings. Every time something comes to your mind that wants to disqualify you, make you feel less than or lack, it's not in your wallet. And if it is, get it out. Pitch it out. Anybody ever done a wallet clean? How much of that stuff do you save? No, it's either in the shredder or in the garbage, whatever, right? We clean it out. Time to do some wallet cleaning. Here's the next thing. For he chose us in him. How many of you, well, some of you are really good at sports, right? Some of us were never good at sports. And one of the greatest hate things for me was when I hated it when in school or whatever, they go picking for teams, right? Get a captain, and because I'm always the last one to be picked. And the team that gets me is kind of like, ugh. Right? Yeah, well, I guess we'll take Shannon. Right? Yeah. That's where the enemy wants us. He wants us to feel like we're the last choice. We're the bottom of the barrel. I guess I'll have to take you. That's not the case with God. You were chosen. You were chosen. Before you were born, before the beginning of all things, you were chosen. And here's what you were chosen for, to be blameless in his light. Before the beginning of time, he chose you. And his declaration is, I've chosen you and I'm going to make you blameless in his sight. And again, as we start, it is freely given to us in the one who he loves, through Jesus. Chosen, blameless from the beginning. Are you starting to feel a little rich? In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to, in accordance with the riches of his grace. God's grace isn't just, it's rich. In fact, it goes on to say that he would lavish it on us. One of my favorite words, just say the word lavish. Doesn't that feel good in the mouth? Lavish. Lavish. He lavishes his grace on us. Oops, sorry. I think I might be a little out of order, doesn't matter. But he lavishes his grace on us. Aren't you glad for his grace? Aren't you glad that that's how he feels about it? He lavishes his grace on us. In verse 9, it goes on to say, with all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will. So I think I missed the adoption part. Sorry. Yes, I did. Can I just step back? Well, we'll just talk about that. So you're blameless in his sight, and he predestined you for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. We read sometimes hear that word predestined, and please understand it doesn't mean that God's going, I pick her, I pick him, I pick that. That's not what it is. God set up in advance anyone who receives the invitation of his son. It's open. The invitation went out to everyone. And if you RSVP, I believe in Jesus, I'm going. I'm a part of that. He predestined the receivers to have a wallet full, spiritual wallet full. This is for us. He had predestined you to be adopted. If you receive and believe, or believe and receive, however, you've been adopted as sons. Ask anyone who has gone to adopt a child what that child means to them. And you've been adopted by the Father. What you mean to him, I'm telling you what. He is with great joy, he brings you into sonship. In accordance with his pleasure and will. You're a pleasure to God. It pleases him to have you come in to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has given to us freely, which is the scripture right there. We have this glorious grace. Now, sometimes we know that we've been taught grace is God's favor. That's partly true. That's how it comes to you. It comes to you as a favor. It's a gift. But what is it that's coming to you? Well, let's just, everything that's part of his ability. It's God's ability to make these things happen as a favor to you, out of his favor for you. Does that make sense? So his glorious favor, his glorious grace is what's been lavished upon you. Chosen, predestined according to his plan. You were included in Christ when you heard the message of his salvation, sorry. Okay, and it's all free, we've got there. And you were forgiven. How many of you love that part? You know what? Sometimes we get hung up and not see ourselves as forgiven. We keep ourselves sin conscious instead of God conscious. We keep seeing all the bad things we've done instead of turning to the one who redeemed us. The one who's willing to forgive us, in fact, already has. The one who paid the price for your sins. Whether it's ones you committed today or tomorrow or last week, because all of them hadn't been committed when Christ died on the cross. Amen. It's all of that that he took and bore on the cross for us. And that's why we want to be conscious of God, not our sin. Conscious of Jesus, not what we've done wrong. Because we're now looking at what's in our wallet. And if that other stuff is still in there, get rid of it. Do a wallet clean. Redemption, man. We're out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And it's by the riches of God's grace. It isn't just doled out 75 cents allowance type thing. And I'm speaking way long time ago. Sorry, those of you who are younger, where 75 cents was a lot of money. Now it's like, what's this? Right? Right. Here's the next thing he did. Sorry, I'm just catching up here. Okay, we've got that lavish on. Let's move on here. He let us in on the family secrets. He made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Do you know we get to know what it's all about? We are here. It's all about what he's done for us. He says he put it into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, bringing unity to all things in heaven and on earth. Now, I want to say this. All things are complete in Christ for the believer. And we do know he's returning. And there is a call for us to be in unity. I want to speak more to that next week, but there is a unity under Christ. Now, we've heard the message of truth. We've heard about our salvation. We've given them, I'm speeding through. We've been predestined to be included in Christ. Are you happy that you're included in Christ? Yes. Having heard and believed the message of truth? Amen. It's a gospel. It's the good news of your salvation. How many know it's good news? How many of you know it's no longer about you having to keep the law? It's about him having fulfilled the law. And now we can freely come and receive. We freely come and receive that finished work. Now, guess what happens? There's a change that happens in us. We become like Christ, where we walk out and fulfill the law just by our new nature. He has marked us with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit. And why has he done that? Because it's a deposit and a guarantee for us. I want to speak to you a little bit about, now remember, Paul's in Rome, he's in prison, and he's using this analogy, because there's something that would happen in Rome. If they went out and conquered and captured an area, they'd bring back prisoners of war, if I can put it that way. And their goal was to make them become Roman citizens, get a hold of the empire's way of doing, become civilized, if I could put it that way. And there was a whole series of processes that would happen for that. Paul happened to be a Roman citizen because he was born in Rome. But other people could come into being a Roman citizen. And one of the things about if a soldier bought into it, became a part of the Roman Empire, and was willing to go to battle for Rome, what he would be given is a seal, a little coin such thing, that he would wear on his belt as a promissory note. That if he lived and came back, if he survived the battle and came back, he was promised some property. It was a guarantee. It was a deposit on that piece of land. So when Paul is talking about this and he's speaking to them, this is what the Holy Spirit is for us. It's our deposit on our part of the property in heaven, if I can put it that way. I don't know if there's a limit on it. A guarantee, the Holy Spirit is a guarantee, that deposit of what we have, which is our inheritance in Christ. What does Christ have? Everything. And we're a part of that in him. Are you feeling wealthy? What's in your wallet? Everything. Everything. Your inheritance. Okay, let's move on here. Now, we're moving on to chapter 2. Just before chapter 2, Paul does something. He prays. He prays several times through this. And I want to tell you, Paul prays because prayer is powerful and effective. Yep. And sometimes we forget that, or sometimes we just are flippant about it. And I say that not to criticize or anything, but your prayer is powerful and effective. Your words to God are powerful and effective. Papa says to you, come talk to me. He says, come bring your issues before me. But then here's the other thing. I talked about it this summer, is when we pray and when we talk to Papa and we sit, there's a point at which we need to and listen. And sometimes we have a habit of telling Papa how he's supposed to. Sorry if you're offended by me calling him Papa. I know we have visitors and that. He's my Papa. He's your Papa too. I come to Papa, not my Father, though he is my Heavenly Father. I come to Papa and I have a request. And I stop and I listen. Sometimes his answer isn't the one I want. It's not what I want, Lord. But who loves me? Who knows me better than myself? who knows that plan that he has for me is better than the one I have for myself. That my way may get me a momentary sense of blessing, but his way brings a blessing that just never stops. And Paul prays. And this is what he prays. He tells them, well, let me read part of it to you. "For this reason, ever since I've heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, your love for God's people." Oh, whoops. Is there a love for God's people in your heart? Or is there criticism? Is there a denomination within the community of Camrose that you're angry with? They aren't God's people. Just saying. Maybe the Holy Spirit needs to touch our hearts in certain areas to look for love for all people, not even just God's people, but all people. "I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, and he may give you the Spirit, capital S, of wisdom and revelation." Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your hearts may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you. The riches, here's your wallet again, of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. And his incomparably great power for those of us who believe. That power is the same power as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And it goes on, far above all powers. And we know the rest. I don't want to read it all. I don't have time. To know him better, not just know about him, but to experience him, experience the power of this gospel, this good news. That's his prayer. So that you may know the hope you're called to, that you may know these glorious riches that you have in your spiritual wallet, that you have, that you are his inheritance. That's that scripture that says you make God rich. You make God rich. I mean, that's not the only scripture, but there's an inheritance in his holy people. And guess what, church? You have that inheritance as well. Look around you. Look at the brothers and sisters you have in the Lord. You're rich. So don't throw somebody away like a tarnished penny. Because you're rich. And maybe they just need a little polishing. And maybe when you polish them up, you find out they're a vintage penny that's worth a lot. I know that in our day and age, we don't have pennies, but... or they're not in circulation. So let's go back to remember there was a rift between the Jewish and the Gentile believers, and Paul is looking at them and saying, look it, you've got this wrong. There isn't a division. God has done something new. Look at God. Look at what he's done. Look at the power that he has in his whole through the Holy Spirit. I want your eyes opened, your hearts open to what he's doing. And then he goes on to say, look at, you've been made alive in Christ. This is chapter 2. You've been made alive. You've been saved. You've been raised up with Christ. Doesn't matter, you Jew, Gentile. You've been raised up with Christ. You're joined to his resurrection life. You're joined to that. You are a new creation. You are a new species of human beings, if I could put it that way, through Christ. And you know what? It's our joy as believers to go in and discover all that he has for us. I think of Psalms 23, where it talks about the banqueting table. that he's prepared in the presence of our enemy. Now I want you to think of the best banqueting table you've ever seen and what's on that table. It's going to be kind of like the potluck. It's going to be better than the potluck. But there's so many choices, you don't even know where to start. Right? And that's what he prepares for us. And it's a joy for us to keep discovering all that he has for us. We've been seated. Oh, sorry. Let me put those things up. Seated with him in the heavenly realms. Are you kingdom seated?
Yes,
we've talked about this. We are seated with Christ in heavenly realms. And here's an interesting thing. It says to show his incomparable riches of grace. And again, I'm not reading through all of it because there's a lot there. But he does that to show this to who? Well, we'll get there. It shows his kindness, his handiwork in us. Is it your work? Is it his? You're his handiwork. Sometimes we want to get in there and mess and meddle with the artist. I'm sorry, when I'm doing art, don't you come and smack your paintbrush across my piece of work and tell me how it should be. No, you need a little, my artwork. You are his handiwork. He's the one. And again, as we just yield to the Spirit, oh my goodness. Have any of you looked outside at fall and all the colors? Is he an amazing artist? What do you think he's going to do with your life as we yield, right? Whew. Praise God. You're so good to us, Lord. He created us to do good works. There's a plan for you. There's a purpose. And that's part of understanding our identity. We are part of God's plan. And part of it is, again, us discovering, what do you want me to do, Lord? Where are we going? Have you ever worked with a little child who you know doesn't have it all together and doesn't know, but they want to help you. They want to do it with you. And they're so excited about it. And so you give them a little something to do with whatever, and they're just enjoying it and enjoy. And you give them a little more. That's what Papa's like with you. You may not have it all together or all whatever, but it's his joy to help you discover what you can do. What you can do in the moment. Created in Christ to do good works. Now, oops, sorry, don't read that one. That was a mistake. Sorry. We are reconciled. That I forgot to erase that one. That was back from the Holy Spirit being our guaranteed. We are reconciled and at peace with each other, for he is our peace. And if you aren't at peace with somebody, then have some time with Papa. Find out what's going on in your heart and how he can help you. Hear his handiwork to come to peace with some of the people. And I'm talking church right now, but there might be other people, your church family, I mean. We are reconciled and at peace with each other. Oh, wait a minute, did I? Oh, sorry. And we're also fellow citizens with God's people. So again, remember, when we pray for Israel the second Sunday of every month. And I know Israel, why do we pray for Israel? Because they're our people. We are joined with them. We are fellow citizens with them. We're a member of God's household. How many of you like that idea? We're a member of God's household. Think back to that picture of the royal family. Members of the household get all the privileges of the household. You're also a holy temple in the Lord. We're being built together. Sometimes we become a little bit of a lone ranger thinking, I'll just do. But we're being built together as the temple of the Lord. His dwelling place. We are heirs together with Israel. And we got to remember that. We can't give up on Israel. God hasn't. And we've been asked to pray for them. Because we're one body. And we share together the promises in Jesus Christ. The promises are ours together. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord, we may approach the throne of God. And here's how we can approach it. Freely, we don't have to worry about God's not going to smite you or, you know, lightning bolt you. Smoke. Not freely because of Jesus. And with confidence. Got something going on? Go to Papa. He's ready and willing to listen. Our Heavenly Father is more faithful than any earthly father. And I know we come from all different kinds of backgrounds where we've experienced very ungodly-like fathers who have done things, but not our Heavenly Father. He is not going to take you down. He's not going to beat you up. He's not here to whip you, imprison you, abuse you. That's not who he is. He's a loving father who wants to take you into his arms. And he says, freely come and come with confidence because of the finished work of Jesus. I'm just checking. I'm going to wrap it up here with just this. Oops, sorry. He is the power that's at work in you. He is the power that's at work in you. Now here's my question. Again, we've got part two and part three coming, but we just looked at wealth today. Do you feel wealthy in the Lord? Do you understand what you have in your spiritual wallet? And that's just a drop in the bucket, right? But what we have is so good and so real. You are a part of royalty, part of the kingdom. You have been adopted into the family. And it was God's pleasure to do so through his son, Jesus. What he has blessed you with, what he has put in your spiritual wallet, can't be destroyed by moth or rust or rodent, and it can't even be stolen. It's yours, and it's kept safe for you in the hands of God. And I'll tell you, if God is for you, what or who could stand against you? Who's going to try and take anything out of the Lord's hand? Dare him to try. No, I don't, but you know, there might be a little smoking going on if you do that. Again, we can see how wealthy we are in Christ. You may not have a ton of wealth here on earth, but if you have the Lord, you are the wealthiest. You are rich in him. That's right. You have an inheritance. You are a part of a really wealthy family. Nobody's looking at you except the enemy who wants to make you believe you are less than and lacking. So I ask you now, what's in your spiritual wallet? Well, now you know. Amen? Why don't you stand up with me? We're going to pray. Thank you, Father, again for your goodness. Thank you for the wealth that we have through our beloved Savior Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence here in our hearts, in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, we are certainly not lacking. I pray over the hearts and minds of everyone here when the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that they turn their eyes and look to the one who has brought them life and a wallet full of wealth and blessing in his name. Father, as we go from this place, again, I pray that we can take and share this good news with others who need to hear it. We give you glory, praise, and honor. And right now, we speak blessing over the potluck food and this meal that we're going to share together. May it remind us of how good you are, Lord, that you provide all our needs according to your riches and glory, and we have provided the feast that we're about to partake in. And may our conversation be edifying to one another and glorifying to you. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. And all God's holy people said, amen. Amen.